This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This is a bit of a musical
quiz. I totally knew it.
You know this song. I knew you were.
Sea of Heartbreak. Hey,
listen to it here.
I have this on Spotify.
Don't shine for me.
But do you have this version by Don Gibson?
Yes. It's the best version.
It is the best version. But listen just for a second here.
Adrift on the sea.
So, Jane, I think you watched the show Hacks, right? You've seen the show Hacks.
I love Hacks.
So I started catching up on Hacks over the trip on the airplane. And one of the episodes of Hacks that I watched in season two had this song run on the ending credits. And Sue, I thought to myself, wait a second, I know this song, but I don't know this version. So I went down the rabbit hole, and this is the version that I knew because Roseanne Cash did it with Bruce Springsteen. So listen here. And it's actually a really good version, but you know who else did it here? The Everly Brothers. Jimmy Buffett did it.
What?
You remember Lynn Anderson from the 1970s? She did it as well.
Sea of heartbreak, lost love and loneliness.
And the Searchers did it as well.
Wow.
Take me and keep me.
But you know, I went through all these versions. And Don Gibson's, the original version, is just the absolute best. It is so awesome. I love it so much.
I'm embarrassed. I don't know who Don Gibson is.
I didn't either, Sue. Okay. You're not. Don't be embarrassed. I knew Sue would know this because she's got the country background, so I don't know much about him.
Don Gibson is awesome. He's just an old school country person that Michael actually introduced me to because it's before the 90s when I was in country. And he wrote a bunch of great stuff.
Yeah.
And I went through a phase where I will take a bath to Frank Sinatra.
Right.
I went through a Don Gibson phase.
Nice.
And if you listen to it on Spotify, he has some great stuff, and it's very similar.
Okay, so good. I fell in love with his version. I listened to it about 30 times coming back from Greece. And I did download in my, you know, I use Tidal as my music service. There's the best of Don Gibson. I haven't had time to listen to it. His voice is so incredible. Oh. And, you know, I will say this, in the Springsteen version, I like Don's better. But in the Roseanne Cash Springsteen version, Bruce sings, he doesn't ever sing like this. And let me just play this part again and listen.
Always to sail, sea of heartbreak.
My feeling is, not knowing this, he is paying homage to Don Gibson there.
I totally agree.
I promise you he is, because he's singing differently than he ever has on some other covers. So I know that he's throwing some love to Don Gibson. So that was like a little musical discovery. I felt embarrassed that I did not know that song.
Don't be. And he wrote all kinds of really great stuff. And they all have that. He has kind of a heartbreak thing going, but he was married to the same woman and they were very happy. But that was his thing. And his twist is always...
Yeah.
It's just kind of great.
I loved it. So I'm going to dig in. You know, I listen to music when I clean the house, and boy, the house is overdue for a cleaning. So I'm going to listen to a little Don Gibson when I do that tomorrow. I just loved it so much. We'll talk a little bit more about TV and movies in a second. I did have one other question before Sue's News, and this is a legit question for the audience. So when I was in Greece on Tuesday, my daughter sent a picture. I don't even know if I told you about this, Fred, of my lawn, which is all marked up with colors and flags and stuff like that. So come to find out, and then there was a door tag that was on my door from AT&T. They are laying fiber optic cable.
Oh, nice.
But here's the deal. Like, I think they're going to dig up my yard pretty good.
They got an easement.
It's not bad.
15 feet is the easement?
I wouldn't be surprised.
They don't, I mean, when they laid my fiber, it was very easy.
Well, they supposedly...
Mine's underground.
Okay, but here's my question, okay? And that's what they're going to do. And my side of the street is horizontal, right? Yeah. Is that horizontal? And then they're going to go underneath the street, and that would be vertical. I might have reversed those guys. I don't know. But there's all these flags, you know, where the colors are. The lawn needs cutting. What am I supposed to do with the flags? Because I want to pull them all out, but I don't know if I'm allowed to do that.
What's going to happen is not only do they have to worry about where they're going to dig, they've marked everything that when they dig, they don't
So they don't hit any of the other lines.
Can you dig around it, leave a gap where those are? Because they're going to dig up that ground anyway.
Well, I guess I should just cut around it. But
I would cut around it.
Yeah,
I would cut around it.
But here's the question, though. Because
but they didn't take much space when they...
Okay, that's good.
Not at all.
And they have done this in some of the other neighborhoods. I was impressed because somebody one time told me, we have only about 30 houses in our neighborhood, and I was told that they didn't think it was worth the investment. Apparently, they think it's worth the investment. But let's think back, Fred and Sue in particular. Jane, you don't remember this as much, to last summer. What was the number one thing I was bitching about all summer?
Losing service.
It was Charter. Charter was going out all the time. And we found out... that somebody was vandalizing the main feed for that.
Because they were stealing, were they stealing the copper or something like that? So that candidly has not happened in a while. It was happening weekly last summer, and I complained about it.
Well, that would be frustrating. But, I've had very good luck with AT&T.
Do you have it now?
The speed is great, and they took the line and went along the sidewalk. I mean, you didn't really see
I think that's what I'm going to do now here. But you're saying this: you have the service?
I love
it. I do, too.
Okay, you do, too.
And I don't have anything else. I don't have cable. I cut the cord. Everything is streaming, and it's great, and the speed is great, and I have, you know, seven TVs, and
how do you watch the Cardinals game? Where do you go for that?
Yeah, we have to buy extra.
On Amazon. That's what I did. Right. Okay.
Yep. But, I mean, so you can't find anything.
But you don't even have YouTube TV or Fubo or anything like that.
YouTube
TV. Have TV. You still, it's just streaming.
Well, I just don't have cable.
No.
She said she cut the cord.
You don't have, like, UVerse like I have.
Right. No. We used to have UVerse, and I hated it. So,
but that's AT&T.
Right.
Yeah, but I hated the cable service. I hated it. And so, but it's it's very reliable. So I would be happy that
That's the thing.
Everything.
Well, you guys know me. I'm always trying to keep a happy face on and spin it positively. I'm a glass half full guy all the time.
You are just a happy dude.
Oh, my gosh. We'll talk a little bit more about entertainment. We got Cusimano coming up later, but how about this?
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
There you go.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's see. Today is, are you ready for this? National Alphabet Magnet Day. Huh?
Okay.
The ones where you have all the letters and you put them on the fridge.
There's such a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why it has a day, I couldn't tell you.
That's interesting.
Wow.
But that's so random that I did bring it up. Well, in honor of Mark, and Fred too, really. On this day in history, 126 years ago, in 1899... the lawnmower was patented.
Yay!
The lawnmower is 126 years old today.
I bought a little tiny one.
You think that was
the
push one or a gas
one? I'm guessing.
Probably push.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
We had one of those when I was really young. I don't really remember if it was ever used, but we had one. I guess my dad used it.
I used it when I lived in the house before this one. It was great. The yard was tiny. I'm like, neat. It was great.
My electric one was less expensive than buying the non-motorized, so I bought the electric one.
Well, those are pretty reliable. But Sue, on the push ones with the no motor, you would think everything old is new again. I'm surprised that those haven't come back as some environmentally
They're more expensive.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they are?
That's interesting.
But you can't go to Lowe's and get one of those things. I mean, you get the electric.
You have Amazon.
Right.
Yeah, the electric have come a long way.
Oh,
but back when I had that, it was 2004. So it was the opposite. Yeah.
Very reliable, very easy to use.
Exactly. And on this day in history, 111 years ago today, in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson established the first Mother's Day.
Yay, Woodrow.
Are you prepared for Mother's Day, Fred? I mean, at least for your wife or doing something. These two. I mean, Jane's prepared. Mark is a nightmare.
I didn't even know it was Mother's Day until yesterday. Honestly, I had forgotten completely.
Boy.
I'm pretty lucky. Marie doesn't want any observance of Mother's Day.
Especially for me. You told me that.
Who's her husband.
Yes.
She asked our sons, just send her pictures of them.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah.
And I think she means it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Marie means it.
No, I'm just going to brunch with my son.
I think that sounds nice.
That's good,
nice.
Though, too.
Well, the National Retail Federation says consumer spending on Mother's Day is expected to reach $34.1 billion this year, which is up a notch from $33.5 billion last year, but down a bit from the record, which was set in 2023. I don't know why we spent so much in 2023 particularly.
Just out of COVID, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you could see Mom again and you hadn't seen her in a while. On average, people are planning to spend $259 on Mother's Day gifts and celebrations.
I wish.
On average.
$59.
On average.
Wow.
Maybe it's that you're taking more people than Mom out to brunch, because it's a huge day for restaurants. It's one of the number one.
Yeah. No kidding.
That seems high. I mean, because average, that means some people are spending $500.
I mean, flowers are expensive. But
well, that's true. I think it's meals mostly. I really do.
Do you know what I'm doing for Mother's Day?
What?
Well, not Mother's Day, tomorrow.
What?
I am the writer in the Leschers flower truck.
Oh,
in
I
South
love
City.
This, Brad.
Oh, this
so
is
my,
awesome.
My sister-in-law, Jackie, drives the truck part-time, and she's got a ton of deliveries Saturday on Mother's Day. And so she's going to drive, and I'm going to ride, and I hop out at every stop and deliver the flowers.
Oh, that's okay. Fun. You know what? That's
so
actually
I've got a full
fun.
8 hours
adorable.
But of delivering flowers.
Tell them, people, sweet? What you were told.
Well, there's so many deliveries. I tend to socialize a lot with people, and I was kind of told, deliver the flowers and come back into the truck, or we'll never get them all delivered.
See?
If you want to talk to everybody, like when you walk the dog.
Right.
So,
but are you, like, when you say deliver, are you leaving on a front porch, or are you knocking
are you
and
ding
delivering?
Dong,
yeah.
Oh,
dash.
No, you first attempt, I've got all the rules.
Okay.
You first attempt to make the delivery in person.
Okay.
If they don't answer, I'll look back to the truck. Jackie will make a phone call to the house.
Oh.
And if they don't answer, then we find a place to hide them in front of the house.
That's
unless
really
people
nice.
Are listening.
That's very thoughtful.
That's right.
Yes.
You try and deliver them.
Just jiggle the door handle. If it's open, put them in there, Fred.
Oh,
take a stroll around.
Wow.
No one will mind.
Oh,
no, you
but
make
that's
every
funny.
Effort you can
I actually
to deliver
would
them.
Have fun delivering flowers.
I think
flowers.
So, too. I think that sounds fun.
You've done this before, though, haven't you? I think I remember.
I've never done it.
Oh,
no,
man, I thought you had.
My wife, Marie, usually does it on Mother's Day. And on Valentine's Day.
So how
to
many
help her.
Do you have a gauge of how many deliveries you'll be doing?
Well, I don't know. I was trying to think. I mean, she says that they pack the truck.
Yeah.
Does she have a specific area, Fred? Like, are you hitting
SoCo? Yeah, everybody
SoCo?
Has certain
they
areas.
They map it out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what ours is.
Okay.
But I'm thinking, what can you do? Four in an hour? I mean, if you have to drive to another place?
Yeah, it depends on
depending.
How close together they are.
So if we're going to be out at least 8 hours, maybe 10 hours.
Leschers is great.
Like,
we want to hear a full report on Monday. That's fascinating. I think it sounds fun.
I think you should utilize video.
It'll be fun for the first hour and a half.
And then you start to think about lunch.
That's right.
I wonder
I hope they feed you.
I wonder if, Fred, when you go and deliver all these things, do people tip you?
Some people do tip.
I wondered about that.
Florist
delivery. That's sweet.
And don't confuse us, Mark. This may have happened to you with his brief yet glorious career as a, was it Uber Eats? No, it was a...
No, it was what? It, no, what was the thing?
It was like a Schnucks delivery.
Yeah, but what the heck was the main thing?
It's what your wife does. How do you get
Instacart?
Instacart.
Yeah, Instacart.
I was an
Instacart driver.
Remember
that?
During COVID.
Yes, remember that?
Maybe.
Oh,
yeah,
my
gosh. It was awful.
That was kind of a weird situation.
I delivered the wrong stuff to
the
wrong
Fred
people.
Oh, you
did?
Yeah, he wasn't good
at that. Oh, I pulled a bag
of
trash out of the back of the car and thought that and unfortunately left that on somebody's thing. Oh, it was bad.
Yeah.
That How do I not thing. Remember that?
I don't know. I think we've got a short of it somewhere.
Okay.
And people over at Ranker.com are voting for the most inspirational moms in the movies.
Ooh.
Now, number 10 would be Paula Winslow as Bambi's mother in Bambi in 1942. Boy, that's really going back there.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock as Leanne in The Blind Side is number 9.
I like that one.
Sally Field as Malin in Steel Magnolias.
Yes.
I think that's a
fair
one.
That's a big one.
She's in here again, I thought. Well, maybe not this high. Susan Sarandon as Marmee March in Little Women. Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor in The Terminator.
Okay.
She did sacrifice.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she was.
It fits.
Yeah.
Verna Felton as Mrs. Jumbo in Dumbo.
How about that one? Okay.
Here's my favorite. Julie Andrews as Fräulein Maria in The Sound of Music. Fred.
Oh.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
I've already made my,
I know.
Position clear on that. It wasn't a popular one with the audience. So.
Don't repeat it.
She was great. Okay.
Adorable.
Is that it? Oh, no. Number 3 was Sally Field again as Mrs. Gump in Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Julie Waters as Molly Weasley in Harry Potter movies. She was a great mom.
She was a great mom.
And Holly Hunter in The Incredibles as Elastigirl.
I love that choice.
Okay.
Do you really?
I do. I have many animals that have been named after characters in The Incredibles. It's one of our favorites for sure.
I'm trying to think, are there any TV moms that were great?
I don't know. That's a whole different list.
It is.
Roseanne Conner.
Yeah, I was thinking Barbara Billingsley.
Leave it
probably.
What about Mrs. Brady?
Mrs. Brady. That's a good one.
Oh, she'd have to be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Carol Brady was,
by the way, did you guys, I'm sure you did, but there's all kinds of things that happened in the last 10 days that I missed. That Ruth Buzzy had died.
Yeah.
She was so phenomenal, right?
Hilarious.
I had this pulled out yesterday since Mark has just arrived back from, you know,
the world.
A website scoured social media to find things that foreigners like about Americans. And there are some really interesting kind of random responses. One said, my favorite thing about Americans is how often football fields is used as a unit of measurement.
That is 100%
accurate.
That's why I do it.
We completely do that. Number 2, I love how Americans say coffee. Well, that's if you're in New York.
Yeah, coffee talk.
I love how Americans make a salad where the primary ingredient is pasta. We're no rookies.
I know. Amen.
I love how Americans call their dogs stuff like Cooper and Tucker and Tanner. I have no idea what these names mean, but the dog is very cute. I guess they name them other things.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I do love it when Americans say, I got you. I do feel genuinely reassured, much to my surprise.
Isn't that interesting?
So in the next hour, Jane, you might want to check this out because my my awesome tour guide, my friend Mike Kenny, who took this group of listeners and myself to Greece, is going to kind of join me on a bit of a wrap-up visit. And one of the reasons I wanted to do that is because we were on a French cruise liner, and all the French, it was 80% French people, they didn't even like the way that we ate our food. Because do you know what they do? They hold their knife in one hand, their fork in the other, even when they're not using their knife, they have to hold it. So we were very poor eaters, apparently. Like, you know how you'd have a piece of bruschetta, what would you do? You'd eat it with your fingers. Oh, you can't do that if you're French. You got to use the knife and the fork and everything.
They just don't like us.
Yeah,
we're so unrefined.
I think what we do makes more sense than what they do, though.
I don't know. I thought they were very nice when I was there, but I wasn't on a cruise.
Look, they were judgy. I will tell you that. This crew was.
They think we're all just,
I've been to France twice. I've had never a bad experience with the French people.
Same.
This was a little different, I think, on this cruise. Anyway, go ahead.
I love how Americans pronounce the word duty like duty.
True.
Yeah. That's true. All of these are true. And finally, I love how Americans decorate for every season, which is 100% accurate.
That is accurate.
You cannot argue with really any of these things.
You know, that football field thing, I do that all the time when I'm driving.
See?
Well, it
and
makes
it'll
sense.
Say, you know, turn in 400 or 300 feet, or 300 yards, turn in 300 yards.
And you're
I'm like, okay, three football fields.
Right?
That's the only way
you know
do
what?
It.
Yeah. It lets you visualize it.
It really does. Now, we've been talking about Tom Cruise doing his own stunts, like walking out on the wings of a plane, et cetera, and how much he eats for breakfast, which is more than Fred, which we determined. Well, Jackie Chan is now 71 and says he does his own stunts. He will never retire. Quote, when you've done it for 64 years straight, there's no physical prep anymore. It's your heart and soul and muscle memory. He will play Mr. Han in Karate Kids Legends on May 30th.
Wow.
Jackie Chan.
It's just even weird to think of him as 71 years old.
It is.
I agree.
I agree with that, too. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. There's a fake McDonald's in City of Industry in Southern California that's used just for filming. So most of the McDonald's ads you've seen were shot in that building. And if you see McDonald's in a movie, it's generally shot there at the fake one in City of Industry in California. And that's it for Sue's News.
I love
well,
that.
That's a little disappointing.
Sue's News. I love it when Americans like Don Gibson sing a song like this. So we'll go out with this. We got Paul Hall coming up next.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday afternoon, we got Cusimano coming up in a little bit. Man, the Cardinals are kind of on a roll. When I left for Greece, they were 5 games, I think, under 500, and now they're at 500. Maybe I should stay away a little bit more often, Fred.
Yeah, I think
so. We'll talk with Frank about that here in a second. Paul Hall, though, is here with us, as he always is, on a Friday on entertainment. Mr. Hall from Common Guy Films, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Mark. Welcome back. Normally, I would start with, I've got a couple new theatrical films, but I wanted to start with something else because there was a film this week that's now available for everyone to see over on Netflix that kind of grabbed me in all the right places. Shall a Vince Vaughn film do that? And not the way most Vince Vaughn films tend to do. This is a new one called Nonas.
Is it Nonas or Nanas? Is it Nanas
Nona.
Or Nonas? Nonas. Okay, this is a Netflix film. It's not a streaming series, correct?
Correct. It's he is a man. He plays an Italian man who's lost his mom, and as he's trying to reinvent himself, he decides to go ahead and open a restaurant in the middle of Staten Island. And that restaurant has a unique concept. It's basically doesn't have a real a chef, a trained chef.
Okay.
He's decided that what people really want in this world and in this time is to have meals prepared that were specialties of nanas, grandmas, all over. And so he brings in a couple nanas from the neighborhood, and they cook home-cooked meals like you would get, you know, when you gather the family around the table at a holiday.
And this cast looks very interesting. Some names that I think a lot of people would recognize that you might not have seen in a while. You have Talia Shire in here, Brenda Vaccaro, Lorraine Bracco.
Brenda Vaccaro.
Yeah, Brenda Vaccaro.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, top to bottom. Really cool casting. This is a lot of fun. It may get you with a little teary-eyed from time to time. And it really gives you what you need to just come together. And let's face it, food is one of those things that brings families all over the place together, and it reminded me as I'm watching it of two things: my own mom, who passed away about 5 years ago now, and my grandma, who I don't have around either at this point. But the meals that they prepared, like for my mom, it was her lasagna, and I still make it very similar to the way she did till this day for my family. And my grandma had some great dishes, like big pancakes. She was Norwegian.
Huh?
They were like a crepe with butter and sugar and rolled up, and they were absolutely to die for. That and Christmas rice at Christmas time that my cousin still makes to this day from there. So I told Fred, the assignment was, what's that meal you remember from Grandma?
For me, it was, maybe this is because I don't have it very often these days. My wife doesn't like it, but man, my grandma made a great meatloaf. Meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Yum,
my comfort
yum.
Food
that is,
there.
That's old school. That's old school.
My grandmother was a baker. So what I remember most is she would make cinnamon swirl bread scratch, and we would have that on Christmas morning or any other time in the winter when she came. Oh, my gosh, it's so good. It's toast with butter. Sorry.
At one grandparent, I had Italian pasta.
Mm.
I mean, anything, seafood pasta, red pasta, white pasta. All of that, grew up on that. And then on the other side, my grandmother made the most amazing Christmas turkey.
Oh, yum. Mm-hmm. Man, I love turkey.
Yeah.
I can only remember my grandma Bottomer. And I would remember waking up there every Saturday morning, and she made the best big pancakes.
Oh,
just
darned.
Like you, Paul. And we would listen to KMOX, the trading station, and we would eat these big, big pancakes.
That's kind of cute. Mrs. Bottenheimer.
I love that.
Adorable.
I do like that.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Sorry, I was a little late on the cue, but I had to play that. There you go. Well, that's good.
The thing is, Nona's will bring you those feelings. Those feelings, as you guys are recounting those dishes, you remember those times you sat down and ate them with your family, and those good times. You know, we all have our bad times, too. But those are the good times, and Nona's will bring the good times out in you. I absolutely love this movie. If you don't sit down and watch it with your mom this weekend or your grandma, if they're around, enjoy it. This is a kind of a feel-good movie that everybody can see and enjoy. We'll have a good time with.
Wow. You know, this is interesting because as I page down, I'm on IMDb. Campbell Scott is in this movie. Great actor there. Linda Cardellini is in this movie. I saw another name that I thought was interesting. Oh, Susan
Sarandon. Dre DiMatteo
from The Sopranos. Yeah, that's a great cast.
Yeah, and Susan Sarandon is the baker here. So for you, if you're looking for baker, she's actually the baker. And you've got a woman that comes. You know, each of these grandmas come to the table from different places. I'm not calling them nanas. I call them grandmas in my case. That's all they are. They're the Italian version of the grandma. And they're the kind of the matriarch of the family. And they have those special recipes that we all wish we had.
That's awesome. Now, I'm very fascinated because I have a piece of audio in here, and I don't know what this is about, but there is I think it's a film. It's called Clown. My wife hates clowns. Clown in a Cornfield.
They're really big on tradition around here.
Every year, there's this parade where everyone gathers around a friend who floats.
Friend, though?
It's the clown on all the Bay Pen corn syrup labels.
There's some real weirdos at this town.
There's a psycho dressed up like Brendo. Kill us.
Maybe it's just me. It sounds like a perfect Mother's Day movie for the weekend,
good
Paul.
Good grief.
Just like Nana's. Clown in a
Mom
cornfield.
Mom wants to get rid of the kids for the afternoon. Send them to go see Friendo the Clown and the folks who go nuts in a Midwestern cornfield. As this town's kind of falling apart. Their main product they made there, the factory's kind of going down. The mascot was this clown. And he starts wreaking havoc all over the town. It's a harken back to the 80s type of slasher movie, but with more humor. It's kind of that whole, it plays with itself. It reminded me of, it was one of the phone companies or a Geico commercial that did the whole, the kids ran behind, we got to go behind the chainsaws. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It reminded me of that and the way they play with things. They know how to make this work from the standpoint of you just having a good time with it. Yes, a good time in the middle of a slasher film. I get it. They kind of don't go together, but it actually was a good time for those of you who are willing to experience it. Clown in a Cornfield, see it at a drive-in near you this summer because I think you might be scared at that point.
What do we got streaming-wise? You know, I'm a little bit behind on Your Friends and Neighbors now. I'm behind on a couple others because I was gone for more than a week. What do you got? What are you watching, Jen? Are you watching anything now?
Yeah, Mobland.
Yeah, and I still haven't started that.
I like it. I really like it. It's kind of old school mob stuff, which I like. And I also watched The Agency, which was good. It was okay.
So I was catching up on my trip on Hacks with Jean Smart, and I watched the first season. I got through season two. Let me stop because I love Jean Smart in this. But you know what's annoying me is the assistant character, and this is what's disappointing. I don't know what her name is, but she's the daughter. Did you know the woman who plays the assistant in there is the daughter of Lorraine Newman from Saturday Night Live?
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You know what? That makes sense.
It does. She looks like her.
Yes. Now that you say that, but no, I didn't know. Wow.
I'm on season three. It's okay because
I love the way she just abuses her.
Yeah,
I think it's hilarious.
I like Jean Smart, but the her character, I don't know why. And then I was disappointed because I love Lorraine Newman and she was such a genius, but it was a little disappointing to me overall. Anything else you got streaming wise here this weekend, Paul?
Yeah, I'm going to mention a new Netflix docuseries because we love these true crime things. A Deadly American Marriage. It's a brand new one that's out for Netflix. This is a movie version, so it's not a series you got to get into. It's about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes long. This is the story of Jason Corbett's death. I'll tell you, it's one of the first documentaries like this that I've seen where half of this makes you believe one thing and half of it is 180 degrees the opposite side. How does it go and how does it get there? You've got to see this to check it out. It's basically the story of a man who gets murdered, and the question is, what happened in the room? Who was abusing who? And it was one of the most horrific murders that the prosecutors in this small North Carolina town had ever seen. Absolutely stunning the way it came together. And I don't recall the case when it happened. But A Deadly American Marriage is a very twisted little hour and 45 minutes if you like the true crime stuff.
So let me highlight something, because I think if you subscribe to Netflix, we all get the emails. And in fact, on the one you're just talking about, I got an email this afternoon on The American Marriage. But there was something that came out earlier this week that I thought was fascinating, because we know a lot of the stories, Fred and Sue, and I would say Jane as well, because right. we've talked about them here on the air. And this is a series called Trainwreck, and it's going to start, I think, on June 10th. And it says it's an 8-part doc anthology that focuses on some of the wildest and most bizarre events to ever blow up in the mainstream media. So the first one is the Astroworld tragedy, which was in 2021. Then remember Rob Ford, you know, in Toronto, Fred.
Remember
the mayor, because he was kind of crazy and had a drug issue.
They're
calling that Mayor of Mayhem. This has got to be the best. Trainwreck Poop Cruise. This is a luxury cruise that was from Galveston, Texas to Cozumel, Mexico. But for 4,000 passengers, the reality proves catastrophically different. I don't know if I know that story. The Cult of American Apparel is another one. The Real Project X is another one. Mm. Balloon Boy is another one. This is... I remember that. That's when the father in Fort Collins calls 911. He says that his son has kind of escaped from a balloon. So there's all these interesting stories, many of which I think we've covered here on the show. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, that's got a full list, including things about Area 51 and things that everybody has seen on the headlines at one point. You may have forgotten them since. I mean, heck, you could do a whole episode like that of everything revolving around Fire Festival and Fire Festival 2 and Fire Festival We Might Do It and Fire Festival We Didn't Do It, and it's your fault, not mine.
Yeah, lots of options out there, but they've done a pretty good job with these documentaries. I like the fact that Netflix is breaking that into 8 parts and they're just doing one episode on each, because sometimes they, as we've talked about before, they have dragged these things out. Paul, where can they find your reviews?
SimpleCommonGuide.com. I will say the 4 seasons over on Netflix, the remake that's in a series form, is actually not bad either. I did find myself enjoying that and wondering what may happen in the future.
All right, awesome. We'll talk next Friday. Thank you, Paul.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Okay. Cusimano's coming up next. Hang in there. So the key to the St. Louis Cardinals season apparently is I need to go out of the country more often, Frank Cusimano, because they're on a winning streak ever since I left for Greece. Maybe I should leave again tonight. How are you?
There does. Yes, very good, and welcome back. We missed you very much, but there does seem to be a connection. When you leave, the Cardinals get hot.
Well, I will say this. You know, the crew that I was with, the 97.1 FM Talk listeners, we were all very dialed in, certainly to the Blues, and we know how that ended, but the Cardinals as well. And I'm very, very encouraged as a fan, because not only are that 500, but they're playing pretty good baseball, and there's an opportunity. Now, as you'll probably remind us, they weren't playing the best teams when they caught up here, but a win is a win, and a series win is certainly a series win, and a series sweep is awesome.
Yeah, and 2 of those 5 wins in their 5-game winning streak came against the New York Mets last Sunday, so that's pretty good. And here's the thing, too, is tonight in Washington, they're going to get back Ivan Herrera, who could be their best offensive player. So you add that 1,000 OPS to a team that's got some weapons right now performing, and this is an interesting situation for the Cardinals. Mark, I think the most fascinating thing about it is this, is we all knew going into this season it was a reset season. So what that means is you got to find out about Nolan Gorman and you got to find out about Jordan Walker. Get them 500 at-bats. Find out about these 22 and 24-year-old guys with all this potential. Well, John Mozeliak said a few hours ago, there is a runway, but it's not an infinite runway. So I could picture a scenario, well, if Walker doesn't hit, and God hope he does, that they make this move and they make Burleson the full-time right fielder, and they play Herrera as the DH. So we want to find out, but you know what? You're only 3 games behind the Cubs. You got to try to win.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Frank, we've also seen the Cardinals' bullpen during this stretch here, plus those 5 games as well, perform better as of recent. And we saw that, you know, they've started mixing it up, bringing some guys down from AAA. We've also seen Michael McGreevy get a little bit of time. He looked great in that win against the Mets last weekend. Gordon Graceffo has had some impact in the bullpen. I have to imagine that the fans are probably, maybe they're even getting a little bit more interested because some of those guys that they wanted to see up with the club at the beginning of the year are having success but are back with the club.
Yeah, it's a great point, Ethan. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Michael McGreevy came up and pitched 5 1/3, I think, of one-hit baseball that he was sent back to Memphis. Now, you could argue he couldn't help them in the next 3 or 4 days, but there's no way that Michael McGreevy is not one of the 12 best pitchers in the organization. And Graceffo has lights-out stuff. And the guy you didn't mention who has been their best setup guy is Kyle Leahy, who's been out of sight. Jojo Romero had a rough start, but he's getting it together now. So, you know, look, the two most important things in life, good friends and a good bullpen, and the Cardinals have the latter for the last couple of weeks.
And the Nationals are a couple of games under 500, but how do we find them right now? Are they halfway decent?
I tell you what, they have good young pieces offensively, but they're not a finished product, and this is a series that you have to win and hopefully sweep because it's going to get a lot more difficult. If you look at the next 18 games after that, a lot of quality teams on the Cardinals schedule.
Yeah, the Phillies are next, right, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Hey, listen, I missed this because I was back on Wednesday night, but our friend Alex Rich, who visits with us on Wednesdays, and he's on Y98, but he did the national anthem the other night at the soccer game. Listen to this. Unfortunately, it's hard to hear the audio there, but when I listened to it on my phone, he did a great job. And City's in action again this weekend, tomorrow night, right, Frank?
Yes, and they had a good victory, but that's the good news. The bad news is it was against Union Omaha, which is the equivalent of being a double-A team. So it wasn't a true MLS team, but they host San Diego tomorrow. Hopefully you can get a little momentum from that game the other night and play well on Saturday night.
One thing that was a little stark, I will say this, Alex shared that with me, that video and the audio. I thought it was going to sound a little bit better on the air, and it didn't, but there was nobody in the stands there. What was up with that?
Well, horrible weather, and it wasn't a game on the season ticket package, and they weren't playing an MLS team. They were playing that USA Cup series. They advanced to the Sweet 16. They'll go to Minnesota next in that tournament. And I imagine if they got to the semifinals, they'd even draw well for that.
How do the Blues and the Blues fans get over the heartbreak from this week?
I can't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I tell you, on Monday morning, let's see, was it Monday?
Tuesday.
No, it was Tuesday morning we had the press conference, and I thought Jim Montgomery said the most telling thing. It hurts worse now than it did on Sunday night. Mm. You don't get over this. I mean, I don't care if Jim Montgomery is 65 years old and playing golf at Belle Reve. He's going to remember what happened in Winnipeg on that Sunday night. Yeah. But the good news is their roster is loaded with all this young talent, and they have a chance to, you know, right the wrong one day.
You know what I thought of, and, you know, you're always going to, whenever you have a great sports moment, and I could take you back, we can all go back to 2011, and I was sitting right behind the Texas Rangers dugout, and it looked like they were going to win the World Series, and I was going to have to watch Nolan Ryan, who was a few rows in front of me, celebrate that, and then we snagged that from them. So in every great sports story, there's someone that really hurts badly, and that's certainly the case with the Blues right now.
Yeah,
but a strong future, a strong future. And I kind of got into hockey here in the postseason. I watched that game with the Golden Knights and Edmonton last night. It was a fantastic game, but the Knights are up against it now because I think they're down 2-0.
They are. And Edmonton, by the way, has Trent Frederick Roofing, a hole in your roof or a whole new roof on their squad, getting regular minutes and doing a good job for them.
All right, what about the NBA? What the hell is going on with Jason Tatum right now?
They need to lay off of him.
Oh, my goodness. There's a social media post of Tatum sitting on the bench, and the caption underneath it was, Steve Kerr was right. He shouldn't have played in the Olympics. I mean, it is so nasty. It's almost like he's done, like, domestic abuse or abused drugs. The guy's had a couple of bad shooting days. And it's, you know, he was 5-19. He had his shot blocked in the dying moments the other night, which could have won it. He's not playing great. They're going to be in New York. And teams that win their first two games on the road in the series have an 87% chance of winning. And unfortunately for Jason, he's catching all the heat in Boston right now.
All the blame. The vitriol is it's shocking.
All right, hey, 45 seconds. What's coming up Sunday night?
Mark, I don't say this as hyperbole, but I think it's going to be our best Sports Plus show ever. Ooh. Here we go. Al Hrabowski got into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, nice.
We tell the Hungo story from start to finish. Mr. Bush threatening him. The fights with the Cubs. The fights with the Astros. And him getting into the Cardinal Hall of Fame and what that meant to him. It's a really moving story. We have an 80-year-old marathon runner from this area who fell down a flight of stairs, broke her neck, but completed the Boston Marathon 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And then we go one-on-one with John O'Leary. Of course, his movie about to come out and some of the things he said about Jack Buck. It's going to be a good 30 minutes of programming on Sunday night.
I was with this group in Greece, and we were sharing with some folks from Minnesota who are not familiar with the John O'Leary story, how awesome that is. So I can't wait. I had John on a couple of weeks ago. Frank, great to hook up with you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk on Monday.
Sounds great, guys. Have a good one.
Bye. Jane, have a great weekend.
I will.
Enjoy your wine day on the hill, right?
I will.
We'll see you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.